Tomorrow symbolizes hope. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus that everybody that is watching us online, everybody that couldn't make it today, Father God, everybody that made it today, Father God, that you will bless them and you will speak into their hearts and their minds. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Another announcement that I don't want to forget is this is the last service that you will have to do registration. Starting next Friday, there's not going to be any registration. You know, there's no RSVP. You can come. Yes, you're going to have to wear your mask, you know, for precautions, but there will be no more registration neither on Fridays and on Sundays in two services, no registration. One service, we're going to still keep registration. The 8:30 service on Sundays, we're going to have registration for those that still want to social distance. But the other two services, 10 o'clock and 11:30, there's not going to be any registration. So I didn't want to forget to tell you about this. But anyway, we've been talking about wilderness and the wilderness process in our lives and the wilderness experience in our lives and how this wilderness experience is when we found it difficult, you know, to live from one day to another. It's when you don't know what to do. You know, you might be in a situation that you don't know how to escape that situation. You might be in a position, you might be going through something that you don't really know if you're going to get out of that situation or not. And we call it wilderness because it's like if you were dropped in the middle of the wilderness and you don't know where north is from south or east from west and you don't know what the way out is. And that's what this message series is all about. We want to talk about how it's so important, you know, that we understand what to do or what, you know, how to get out, and not necessarily how to get out, but how to live when we're going through a wilderness experience. For instance, you know, when a parent, you know, before I get into that, one of the things that the wilderness produces is frustration. I don't know if you have ever been frustrated in your life, but, you know, one of the things that when you're going through this experience is that you will go through that is very, very difficult is frustration. And if you're a parent, you know, you probably have gone through this frustration stages in your life. For instance, when a parent is struggling to see a change in their children and they don't see nothing happening, this brings frustration. And when a husband or a wife, you know, is waiting for a change in their marriage and nothing happens, this brings frustration. When you're working and you're trying to get out of debt, you know, and you're working overtime and trying to find a way, you know, to get out of that situation, that financial situation, and nothing happens, that causes frustration. Or when you're going through a health issue and going through a treatment because of your health and nothing happens, all those things and a lot more things, you know, it produces frustration. And frustration is horrible because frustration always is reminding us of our impossibilities and frustration is always reminding us that we're almost on the brink of failure or that we have failed. And it can bring despair and even depression, you know, and frustration is no joke. And frustration is hard. And if you want to know if you're frustrated, you know, there's some things that you can, you know, kind of analyze, you know, if you are frustrated. For instance, you know, when you have lost all confidence or, you know, or when your level of stress is so high and continuous or when you're angry all the time. I know with this third one is like, oh, well, I must be frustrated because I'm angry all the time. Or when you're constantly fighting with everyone, or you have a high level of anxiety, or you have, you know, stop trying to achieve your goals, you know, you might be frustrated. And I don't know if you have been through those situations where you just want to scream and just leave. You know, when you're going through something that you just feel like just screaming, you know, they just. That's frustration. When you want to give up, you want to give up because you're probably frustrated. And so when you don't see nothing happening, it brings frustration. But also, frustration can come when you go through a deep disappointment. And that is what we're going to talk about, because that's what happened to Moses. And when we are disappointed by someone and now we're frustrated, it can bring you, or it can produce, a wilderness experience in your life. When you see Exodus chapter 3, you know, and you probably know about this, in Exodus chapter 3, God called Moses from the burning bush, you know, and Moses had an encounter with God. And a lot of people think that was the first time that God called Moses. You know, they read Exodus chapter 3 and they say, oh, well, this is when God called Moses. But let me take you back a little bit. And let me show you Acts, the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 7, verse 23. And you're going to see that when the burning bush, you know, when Moses had an encounter with God in the burning bush, that wasn't the first time that God called him. In Acts chapter 7, verse 23 to 25, it says like this. One day, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites will realize that God has sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. Then he says on verse 26 through 27, or verse 27, he says that the next day after Moses killed this man, now he saw two men fighting. And when he saw these two men fighting, he says that he tried to stop them and he tried to be a peacemaker. But verse 27 says like this. But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. Who made you a ruler and judge over us? He asked. Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There, his two sons were born. So Moses defended this man, right? No, there was nobody around. He defended this man. He killed the Egyptian that was mistreating him. And he says that he assumed that because God had called him, people will accept him, that he was going to deliver them from slavery. But they didn't. One of the things that will frustrate us is when people don't accept us. So the next day, Moses now sees two men, Israelites, fighting, and he tried to be a peacemaker. He tried to get in the way, and he tries to, you know, he tries to separate them, say, hey, you know, we're brothers, don't do that. And the man in the wrong pushed him and said, what, are you going to kill us? So there's two versions to this, because nobody saw what Moses had done the day before. Either the man that Moses defended started telling everybody what happened, or the man that pushed Moses was the same man that he helped the day before. Either way, it was wrong. Now check this out, because on verse 30, it says like this. 40 years later, in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. So Exodus 3, you know, what we all know happened 40 years after Moses had killed this man. So Moses was 80 years old when God called him to deliver the people of Israel. 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness because he wasn't accepted. 40 years because he thought that they would respect him. and he was not valued or accepted, and he was betrayed by the same people that he was trying to help. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, that you help someone and the same person you help or you're trying to help is the same person that ends up hurting you. And that frustrates. In ministry, this happens a lot, okay? In ministry, this happens a lot. That's why I tell people when they say that they want to be in ministry, I tell them, you know, you got to think about it. You got to think about it. You got to pray about it. I mean, I think everybody should be in some sort of ministry. But really, you know, if you don't have the maturity, you know, to go into it, you got to be careful because sometimes you're trying to help someone and that someone that you're trying to help ends up hurting you. But this happens also in marriage. It happens with our children. It don't matter what you do, you cannot avoid being hurt. I don't know if one day, you know, you have helped someone and then they betray you and then you say, that's why I don't trust no one. And that's why I don't help no one. That's why I don't get in nobody's business. Because you were hurt. And that's frustration. Now, the fact that Moses wanted to help these people and now he was rejected by these people put him in a wilderness experience for 40 years. 40 years in exile, 40 years resigned to his condition, 40 years frustrated. And many people don't realize what frustration can do to your life. How frustration limits us. How frustration leads us to isolation. There's people that they don't trust no one. They don't trust friends. They don't trust to have a relationship. They don't trust their partner, their wives, their husbands. They don't trust anybody because somebody hurt you. And now you're so frustrated that now, you know, you just don't trust. So frustration leads you to isolation. Frustration will limit you to achieve the purpose of God in your life. I have seen many pastors quit because they get frustrated. Because they invest and invest and invest in somebody else. And then they'll be betrayed by that person and it hurts so much that they just quit, they give up. And I always tell pastors and I always tell people, well, you know, when you're helping somebody, you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for Jesus, so don't worry about it. Jesus was betrayed. You know, people took him for granted. But the thing is this. If you don't deal with your frustration, you will live like that for the rest of your life. People think like, you know, one day when I have a better job, you know, my frustration will go away. Or one day when I buy a house, or one day when I get married, or one day when I have kids. No, frustration doesn't go away just because you achieve something else. People think that, you know, whenever I make it, whenever I'm famous, whenever I achieve that goal, then I won't be frustrated. No, you can achieve any goal. And if your frustration in the process of achieving it, you will be frustrated while you achieve it. And even after you achieve it. People can live their whole life in frustration. And there are two main types of frustration. There's the external frustration. And this when you encounter obstacles that are limiting you from achieving a purpose or a goal. Like for instance, you might say like, well, I don't have money to finish my career. You know, and you get frustrated, but that's external. You know, maybe if you get another job or maybe you get out of debt or maybe you get a loan, you can overcome that. But the worst frustration is the internal frustration, the inner frustration, the mental frustration, the emotional frustration, even the spiritual frustration. It's when you already program yourself that you cannot achieve because you're not good enough. Because you're not worth, because you feel that there's no way that people like you don't achieve things like that. And you make decisions based on your frustration from your past that keeps you on the wilderness process. That's why people that are internal, that are, you know, have inner frustration, they don't believe that they can achieve a change in their lives and their relationships or their homes or their careers or whatever. You know, they don't believe. And if you're going to learn something tonight, learn this. The greatest battle you will have in life is not outside of you. The greatest battle you have in life is inside of you. And there's not a most complicated battle that battle that we have in our hearts and that we have in our minds. And if you think you're going to achieve things in the outside without solving the issues that you have in the inside and the frustration that you have in the inside, you're wrong. Like if you went through a heartbreak, somebody broke your heart, you know, they broke up with you, they cheated on you, they left. And you're frustrated, you're hurt inside, you don't trust nobody. And now you think that because you find somebody new, somebody else, that is going to take care of your frustration, you're wrong. Just having company on the outside doesn't fix what's wrong on the inside. So the condition of Moses didn't start on the outside. It started on the inside. Moses was frustrated in the inside. So now when we go back to chapter 3, on verse 10, Moses had this powerful encounter with God. Powerful. And God tells him, it was God. You see, Moses saw the burning bush, and he was attracted by the burning bush. He sees this burning bush, and he says, how come this bush is not being consumed by the fire? So he got close, and God spoke to him. And now in verse 10, God tells him, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. Now God repeated to him what God had already said to him 40 years ago. Because this wasn't the first time. We already saw in Acts chapter 7. And there's a reason why I took you to Acts chapter 7. And there's a reason why I love, you know, to give you the background and the foundation to it. Because I just don't want you to believe things just because I say it. I want you to see it in Scripture. So 40 years before, God had told him, deliver my people. And because people didn't believe him, Moses quit. He didn't want to achieve now God's purpose. He fled. He went into the wilderness. He forgot about it. So now God is calling Moses again. And he's telling Moses, deliver my people. And in verse 11, he says like this, but Moses protested to God. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? So God answered him. God solved that issue. God solved that question. But then Moses continued to question God. Now Moses tells him, they're not going to believe me. And God tells him now how they're going to believe him. And then Moses says, I don't even know how to speak. And God solved that issue too. But check verse 13. Verse 13 says something powerful. He says, but Moses again pleaded. Now check this plea. This is crazy. Moses again pleaded. Lord, please, please send anyone else. Anyone else. Lord, please leave me alone. Lord, please don't think about me. Lord, please. They must be somebody better than me. God, you picked the wrong person. There must be somebody else that is more prepared. Somebody that has a better potential. Anybody can do it better than me. In other words, Moses had such an inner struggle, frustrated, that it was preventing him from fulfilling his purpose in life. And he was already 80 years old and willing to die without fulfilling his purpose in life. Frustrated. You see, a lot of people may be feeling that way, where a situation from their past, or maybe a situation you're going through today. Maybe the way that your parents made you feel, or an ex, or relatives, made you so frustrated, or it frustrated you to the point that you believe that anyone else can do it better than you. That anybody else can accomplish happiness but you. That anybody else can accomplish stability but you. That anybody else can accomplish restoration but you. And now you feel that your life is about you not accomplishing anything. And there's a lot of people that live that way. They're just going through the day from one day to the next without trying to accomplish nothing because they're frustrated. And I can relate. I can relate to this. Let me. I don't know if I have mentioned this before, but I went through this. I went through this in my life. I was frustrated. I was a frustrated kid. You know, I was frustrated when I got married. You know, I had been frustrated because nothing that I did was good enough for my father. Nothing. Since I was a little kid, I just wanted to have my father's approval. Let me tell you a story. I didn't have this in my notes. As a matter of fact, worship team, come up, because now I don't want to take much longer than I need to. But check this out. Let's check this out. This is how amazing God is. I wasn't going to say this, but let me tell you about this. This is how amazing God is. I used to play baseball. I love baseball. Love baseball. The only thing that I wanted growing up was to play catch with my dad. You would think that was something simple. You know, I would tell my dad, hey, dad, let's play catch. He wouldn't even have the time. My dad didn't invest the time to tell me no. It was more like, hey, can we play catch? That meant no. You know, he didn't even waste the energy to say, N-O, no. You know, or get out of here, I don't know. So I dreamed that I wanted to play catch with my dad. And I remember one day I got home. I was already married. Jonathan must have been maybe like, I don't know, maybe 11. And Jonathan was playing baseball. I used to coach Jonathan. And my dad, I got home from work, and I saw my dad playing catch with my son. And I was happy. I was happy. I was excited, you know. And I'm looking, you know, through the window, and I'm looking, you know, I'm like, man, that's awesome. And my wife comes out, and she said, what are you doing? I said, my dad playing catch with my son. Do you know that I have always wanted to play catch with him? And my wife said, well, this is your opportunity. Go out there and play. I said, no, I don't want to take this time away from my son. Let him play. And my wife was like, they just went out. Do it. This is your chance. And looked like a little kid. I went and got my glove, but now I was playing softball. I went and got my glove, you know, and I got outside. And I wanted like, come on, come on. And my dad had the ball in the hand. And he was like, he stopped, he looked at me, and he told me, you ruined this moment for me. And he put the ball in the glove, handed it to me, went inside. I said, no, don't go. Just keep playing with my son. But no, he just kept on going. Nothing was good enough. Now check this out. I cried a little bit. My son was out there. I didn't want him to see me cry, but he noticed and he said, Dad, don't worry about it. I'll play catch with you. But for years, I wanted my dad's approval. All I wanted him to tell me was that he was proud of me. Because I was frustrated. And it was two or three years before he died, that he told me that he was proud of me. Actually, I'm sorry. It was pre-COVID that he told me, I'm proud of you. And I asked him, why did it took us so long? One day I didn't realize that my dad was frustrated too. Because he never got the approval of his dad. And he was always seeking the approval of his dad. I remember going, my grandfather, you know, I saw him maybe like 5 times. And I remember going to see my grandfather. My dad was excited. You know, I'm going to take you to see your grandfather. And it's going to be awesome. And you know, you had to drive about an hour and then get in a boat for about an hour and a half and go to this little island where my grandfather lived. And we got there. And I remember getting there and my grandfather getting to, you know, the balcony and telling my dad, what are you doing here? And my dad said, saying like, I came to see you. I brought your grandson so he can see him. And my grandfather said, it was good to see you, but next time call before you come. And we left. So a frustrated person frustrates the people they love. That's what frustration is, no joke. That's why if you don't deal with your frustration, your inner frustration, what's going to happen is that you're going to frustrate those that you love. Why are you loving them? I know my dad loved me, but he was frustrated. You don't deal frustration with company, with money, with sex, with alcohol, with drugs, with party, with friends, with Facebook, with pictures and posts and likes and comments. You don't deal with your frustration that way. You don't deal with your frustration with success and ministry. You don't deal with your frustration with a career or with a job or with a house or with a family. You don't deal with frustration that way. Because my dad had all that. But he was frustrated, and I had all that, and I was still frustrated. One day, I was at a women's conference. I was helping my pastor in the women's conference copy CDs. For those of you that don't know what a CD is, it's something that we used before the iPod. You probably don't even know what an iPod is, but don't worry about it. iPod is an iPhone that you couldn't make phone calls with. And while I'm at that conference, my pastor's wife, she grabbed me by the hand. There was about 500 women in this conference, and she brings me to the stage. And I was like, what's going on? It's awkward, you know, because it's awkward. And she tells the preacher, give him a word. She tells this preacher this. Give him a word. So I'm like there in the conference and all these women looking at me like, why is this man in the women's conference in the stage? And I asked my pastor, why are you doing this? He said, I don't know. God told me to do this, so I'm just doing it. And I was in the stage. And this preacher that was there, she said later on that she was upset. She was mad Why this man in the stage? It is a women's conference. Why do I got to give him a word? So she closes her eyes and she tells God, can you give me a word for this guy so he can get out of the stage? And she paused, and I'm, you know, you're up there like trying to look spiritual and stuff. And all of a sudden, this woman says, I don't know the vision that I'm getting, but I just got to say it how I'm getting it. But all I see is I see like you were a little child. And you have a glove in your hand. And I see God throwing the ball to you. And I see you catching the ball and throwing it back. And I see him throwing the bad ball back to you. By this time, nobody knows what's going on, but I broke down. I fell out of my feet, and I was on the ground and screaming with pain. Time. My wife was in the crowd. She took off to the stage. And she jumped to me because she's the only one in the world that knew what was going on, and me. That's what God does when we come to Him to heal our frustration. God healed me that day. Because that revelation showed me that God is my Father. He heals me, and He believes in me. And it didn't matter if I achieve or not. He was proud of me, and He had time for me. So 40 years, Moses was in the wilderness frustrated for 40 years, thinking that his time was over. And now he sees a burning bush and he comes close to the burning bush. He has given up on God, but God has never had given up on him. That's why 40 years after, when Moses now came close to the mountain of God, God didn't waste a moment to call him. Moses, I still want you to deliver my people from Egypt. Moses had given up on God, but God didn't give up on Moses. And the calling that God had for Moses was still waiting for Moses after 40 years. God never gave up on him. The same way, listen to me, the same way that God has never given up on you. And it don't matter how much you try to run away from him. He has time. He'll wait. He'll get you into the wilderness to call your attention. Don't you think it's crazy that God didn't try to get Moses out of his frustration before 40 years? He didn't try to convince him. It was the moment that Moses now came close to the mountain of God. Verse 1, chapter 3 of Exodus. When he got close to the mountain of God, where the presence of God was, that now God called Moses. But it took him 40 years. But God never gave up on him the same way that God had never given up on him. So it is possible that you've been running away from God. That you're making decisions that sabotage you. It might be that you're just tired, people don't believe in you, or being betrayed by people, criticized. and all this frustrates you. Maybe you've been in relationship after relationship trying to find inner peace, trying to fill the void of frustration with somebody else, a relationship, or somewhere else, or somehow, somewhere. But Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, you see, when you come to me, when you draw near me, when you trust me, I will give you rest. I will teach you. I will hear your heart. And you will find rest for your souls. So if you're frustrated, if you've been running away from God, if you feel that nobody believes in you, whoever hasn't believed in you, they're not going to start believing in you now. But if you come to God, if you come near him, I promise you, it's not that you're not going to go through certain level of frustration, but in the midst of your frustration, you will find peace. You will find approval. You will find fulfillment. You will find healing. You will find love. Can you close your eyes, please? If you haven't given your life to Christ, if you've been running away from him, if you've been so hurt that you don't trust no one, if in your childhood somebody hurt you with the words and with the expectations and you haven't met their expectations that they have for you, if you've been betrayed, hey, come to him tonight. If you're at home seeing us, come to him tonight. You see, Moses didn't have to come to the mountain. All he had to do was draw near. And that was all he needed to do for God to call him. And if you're here tonight, if you're listening to me tonight, this is the way that God is calling you, to tell you that he approves you, that he loves you, that he hasn't given up on you, that you are his child, that he's been waiting on you, that he has peace for you, that he has rest for you, that he has healing for you. You gotta take the first step and come to him. Come to him.
Thank you so much for watching this message. And if this impacted you in any way and you'd like to know what the next step is, go ahead and send the word accept to 94090, and one of our staff will contact you And we have several resources here available at Cafe for your spiritual growth. Everything that we do here is for one more, until everybody can declare that there is nothing better than being a Christian.